Welcome back to The Zone. Justin Ankery joined by the voice of the Arkansas Travelers. And you can hear him tonight, but not on this station.
Not on this one.
I tune in, though, sometimes. I'm so dedicated to the Travelers and Phil, also my good buddy, that I don't mind cheating on my own station to listen to you.
It's not cheating. It's just, you know, well, maybe it is cheating.
A little bit. I mean,
I'll do a little play-by-play on this station every once in a while.
Yes.
Four or five times a year.
Whenever Ray Tucker has got to go out, you know, he goes to Cuba to get his Geritol, and so he goes over there twice a year and loads up.
I'm going to have him get me some, too. And Chuck, too. I guess Chuck goes there for his Geritol.
Apparently so.
That's when I get to fill in for baseball.
Yes. Chuck's more of a Rogaine man, I think.
Where does Tommy add it? Where does Tommy go for his?
Tommy's on other things. I think Tommy's more of a five-hour energy guy these days. We have NFL draft talk coming up in a second. I do want to point out that maybe Scottie Pippen was completely in the right, according to a follow-up to the story. This is Zone FU from a couple of days ago. You may have heard that. Look, when you're eating sushi in Malibu, there are very few things that are more peaceful than that. You're not supposed to get in a scrap after eating sushi in Malibu, California.
There are also certain things that are usually not said at sushi restaurants in Malibu, California, I would think.
Well, there are things that are not done anywhere in the world if you don't want to get your face kicked in. The investigators said a violent argument with Scottie Pippen and an autograph seeker broke out after the unidentified man did some things he probably shouldn't have done. Oh, by the way, he got the worst of it. And when Scottie Pippen says to his friends today, "You should see the other guy," he means it. A source says Pippen was the real victim. The fan started the tussle, apparently, according to this report. Spit on Scottie Pippen. If you spit on someone, you need to get your face kicked in. I have no problem with somebody beating the crap out of somebody who spits on them. That is the lowest form of a slap in the face that you can get just about.
That stuff just ain't right.
Biting the thumb, though. That's close. Second.
In what country?
Don't ask me. You got so many problems, son. Apparently, he also called him the N-word. This all while Scottie Pippen was holding his four-year-old daughter. I mean, that's no-no one, no-no two, no-no three. You're out.
How do you go from asking for somebody's autograph, which is supposed to show admiration, appreciation, to dropping the N-bomb
on? Some other shun words, yes. He didn't like the shun that he got, I guess.
He felt shunned.
Yes, he felt shunned after trying to show appreciation. And so then he felt punch-shunned.
Way to go, Scotty. Yep. We're on your side for this one.
I am. I'm not the biggest fan, and I don't think he's very good with the public. I've told you before, I've been shunned by him, too, but I didn't in turn spit on him and call him names because I don't need my butt kicked again. Let's go to the Revolution Hotline. Will you quit doing that? He's killing me over there. Jonathan Wasserman joining us from BleacherReport.com. Jonathan, are you there?
Yeah, what's going on?
I don't know. We're talking about Scottie Pippen. He is not going to be drafted tonight, but he is one of the great NBA draft stories of all time.
Yes.
Jonathan's with BleacherReport.com in case you're just tuning in and you didn't catch on to that earlier. Sorry for making you sit through that story. I'm sure you've heard it, but anyway. All right, the draft is tomorrow night. It is the most exciting time in basketball for those who actually have people who are going to be drafted, and Arkansas fans are not sure that they fall into that group. I ask you first about B.J. Young, what his prospects are, and what the talk is on him, because all the stuff we've seen in the early going is not overly positive about B.J. Young.
Yeah, I haven't heard much positive news regarding B.J. Young's prospects either. He's going to be a second-round guy, if anything. We've heard some negative reports over how well he works out, how well he trains, and we know the transition process for a combo guard like him is going to be tough. So teams aren't really sure what they're going to be getting with B.J. Young. Are they going to be getting a scorer, a point guard, a little bit of both? Can he actually mix it together and make a career out of that? So, we'll see. He'll be a second-round flyer tomorrow night.
Yeah, I was going to say, when combo guard means you don't work very hard and you don't shoot it very well, it's not the kind of combination that most NBA teams are looking for, typically.
Right. Yeah, but he shot it well as a freshman, which is why it's so bizarre. And I see it go from 40% to 22%, within 1 year. But the latter, the 22%, looks a little bit more realistic of what type of shooter he really is.
The sophomore jinx, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. Jonathan Wasserman, BleacherReport.com, joining us, NBA draft lead writer. Again, it is tomorrow night. And actually, we're carrying the NBA draft, which I'm sure our morning guys will be waiting on with bated breath because they're huge NBA fans, not so much. But I'll be listening because I think it'll be interesting. So this is one of the first years in a while, at least from my perspective, that we're not real sure how this is going to look. So who's your bet for the number one pick overall?
I think it goes to Alex Len from Maryland. You know, obviously for the past few weeks we've assumed, for actually the past year, we've assumed that it would be Nerlens Noel of Kentucky. But I think when the Cavs are looking at this number one pick, there's just so much risk associated with Len for a guy who's supposed to be number one. I mean, he broke his knee in high school. He tore his ACL in college. He weighed in at 206 pounds at the combine, which is a guard's weight. And he's very raw offensively. He's not someone who's going to go get you points. So that, you know, when you combine all those little risks together, you kind of get a lot of risk for a guy who's number one. Alex Len is 7'1", 255 pounds. There's no question marks about the physical transition. From a skill point, he's getting better. He's advanced offensively, defensively. You don't even have to be that good if you're 7'1". And have a 7'3 wingspan. You just got to stand there to be an asset. And, you know, there's just not as much risk associated with Len, but he also packs that upside that you want in number one pick.
I don't know. I've seen a lot of guys that you would think all they had to do was stand there, and they weren't very good at that. So I don't know. I guess I didn't see him play this year. So what's his background? I mean, what kind of numbers did he put up at Maryland?
Not big numbers, but, you know, you really, if you've watched Maryland, the way that their guards couldn't get him the ball was just very frustrating. You know, he'd be the first option in this. They took away that post. They quickly move on to option number two. And, you know, you don't look at his numbers and say, wow, this is the number one overall pick. He scored 20 points twice in 2 years in Maryland, just to show you the type of, you know, production that he doesn't put up. But this is a potential pick, and we've seen it in doses instead of a steady stream. But, you know, he's a very talented post player. He can face the basket, play with his back to the basket. He's got a nice touch in the mid-range. You know, he's the full offensive package. He's got defensive potential. It's just a matter of if he can put it all together.
Well, and, you know, if he's playing with Kyrie Irving, certainly there's a guy that can actually get him the ball and create some issues for defenses. So it'd be nice to have a guy that can benefit on the inside, I suppose. Who else do you expect to go in the first few picks?
You know what, I think if Len goes one, Nerlens Noel will go to number two. Orlando has been pretty interested in him for the past few weeks. I just don't see them passing. I don't really think they love Trey Burke, which actually makes, you know, Trey Burke makes sense there. They could use a point guard moving forward, but they don't seem to be in love with Trey Burke or Ben McLemore of Kansas. Ben McLemore, I assume, is a guy who's going to go somewhere in that 4-5 range. Charlotte or Phoenix makes sense. And number three, Washington, is either probably going to go with Otto Porter from Georgetown or Anthony Bennett from UNLV. These are combo forwards, versatile forwards. Bennett is the more high-risk, high-reward option. Porter is probably one of the safer options in the draft. And then there's Victor Oladipo from Indiana, who everybody loves. A safe option. You know, you can't go wrong with Oladipo. It's just a matter of how high do you want to take a guy who doesn't have that big-time upside.
Talk about Porter a little bit. As I said yesterday, he sounds more like a jazz musician than a basketball player. But the guy has been he's solid as a rock. See, every time I watched Georgetown, it seemed like he was putting up another good, solid performance. He seems like a pretty safe pick.
Yeah, safe pick. He's a smart kid. He's disciplined. Just versatile. He's a guy who, you know, he'll make the extra pass. He'll knock down the open shot. You know, he'll play defense for 40 straight minutes. There's just no risk associated with him. I like the Tayshaun Prince comparison, not so much in terms of how they play, but in terms of their impact. He's going to be a good player. He's going to score, you know, 13, 14, 15 points a game. He's going to get your rebounds. He's going to play defense. But, you know, he's not going to be that NBA All-Star year after year. But I don't think in this draft, realistically, that's what you're looking for in the top five. It's just not there.
Jonathan Wasserman joining us, BleacherReport.com, NBA draft lead writer. Again, the NBA draft is tomorrow night. You can hear it here on The Buzz. Let me ask you about another SEC guy, and if you want to weigh in on anybody else from the SEC, feel free. But the player of the year in the league last year, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope out of Georgia. Is he a top 10 pick, 15? Where do you expect him to go?
He won't fall out of the top 15. He's been, you know, his stock has been skyrocketing since the season ended, actually. You know, he impressed a lot of people at the combine. You just look at him, and he looks like an NBA-level guard. He's 6'6". He's athletic. He can shoot the lights out. You know, he's not much of a creator off the dribble, but teams love his two-way potential as a knockdown shooter, you know, an athlete in the open floor, and a defensive stopper. So I think Caldwell Pope goes anywhere from, you know, Detroit at number 8, to Oklahoma City, number 12, that seems to be his range right now.
I know there are always players, of course, that come in from overseas. Most of them will end up on the San Antonio Spurs, if history is any indication. But who's a guy that, you know, and again, it seems like 95% of the time we never hear about these guys until the day or two before the draft because we don't watch a lot of European ball. But who are some guys maybe to watch for from the international standpoint?
Yeah, we'll start with Sergei Tarasov. He's from Russia. He's a 6'7 small forward. He's regarded as maybe the top shooter in this draft. He's one of those high IQ guys. He's one of those guys you picture on the Spurs making a play in Game 7 of the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Just a smart guy, a high IQ. He's a ball mover, you know, just an all-around versatile, no-mistake type of guy who can really knock down shots. So he'll be a safe option somewhere in the mid-first round. He actually got an invite to the green room, which makes you think that he might be in that lottery range. Another guy is Rudy Gobert from France. He's 7'2 with an unprecedented 7'9 wingspan. You know, nobody even knows if he's good or not. You just look at those measurements, and, you know, you just have to imagine the potential if he's able to learn the game. And so he's a guy who's probably going to be in the first round as well, just based on his size and length.
Anybody else you expect from the SEC to be in any way impactful in this particular draft?
You know, I wouldn't sleep on Archie Goodwin. And I know his stock has slipped all year, but this is a draft where there's not many guys with big upside, and I think Goodwin actually has some substantial upside. If he ever, you know, learns the game, you know, 6'5", explosive athlete. I saw a scout say recently that, you know, they couldn't believe how many people would be prepared to pass on him in the first round and not at least take a chance as a late first-round guy based on what he could be, you know, 5 years down the road. You know, we saw his decision-making, his jump shooting, both poor. But you know, he was a highly recruited kid for a reason. He went to Kentucky for a reason. He's got NBA-level talent. It's just a matter of patience and whether or not you can actually figure it out.
Yeah, you know, watching him play last year, I mean, we saw him in high school here, having played at Sylvan Hills in Central Arkansas. He, obviously, all kinds of talent, you know, and I think Calipari may have, I don't know if the tough love worked on him. And of course, you want to be mentally tough if you're going to go to the NBA. It won't be any easier, I'm sure. But, you know, the comments of, I can't coach this guy or I can't coach him or whatever it was, I don't know that that sat too well with him. So I'm curious to see if he can get in the right environment. I think if he can get his confidence back and be in the right setting, he could be a pretty good one. Certainly don't expect Marshawn Powell to be drafted. Any potential you think for him to end up on a roster, whether it's D-League or otherwise, and eventually maybe have an opportunity?
Yeah, well, he'll get, you know, I can't imagine he gets drafted, but, you know, really there's not much of a difference between the guy who gets drafted in the second round and the guy who goes undrafted. Actually, the guy who goes undrafted has some options as to where he wants to go. You know, your second round, you're stuck with whoever took you, and you're not guaranteed the contract there. So, you know, I wouldn't bet on him getting drafted, but he'll probably get training camp invites, you know, D-League, possibly overseas, but the NBA right away seems like a long shot.
Okay, let me ask you an off-the-wall question before we let you go, Jonathan. Mm-hmm. If you were in the NBA draft this week and you were expected to be drafted, but you learned this morning that there was an opening for a tight end in New England, and you thought, maybe I want to start my NFL career. I mean, it's certainly happened before. Antonio Gates comes to mind. Who's a guy that you think could maybe make a call and actually contribute at tight end? Who's a guy that you think, man, we all know LeBron James would be a good option, but what about a guy in this draft that you think could play tight end for the Patriots?
Anthony Bennett from UNLV. This guy is just perfect to fill Aaron Hernandez's shoes. This guy is 6'7", you know, an explosive athlete. You know, he could beat anyone off the line. You know, just looks like a football player. He doesn't even look like a basketball player. He looks like a football player. Anthony Bennett is your tight end if we're picking football.
There you go. I love that. Short notice, and he comes up with a great answer. Excellent work. Jonathan, I appreciate it, my man. We will see how it plays out. And I had not heard a lot about this kid from Maryland, but I've read a couple of pre-draft reports, and he seems to be a rising stock, to say the least. So we'll see if Alex Len is indeed the guy tomorrow night. Thanks for the time today, man. I appreciate it.
Yep, thanks for having me on, guys.
All right, take care.
Boy, it really